Your shoulders raise me up to more than I can be. More than I can be. You raise me up to more than I can be.
God, you raise us up and carry us and journey with us, even in those moments where we feel most alone, God. We know that you are there. We offer you the meditations that rest in our hearts. We ask, O God, to continue to transform us as we share that transformation with the world that we touch. In all that is sacred and holy, meet us in this place, O God, in Christ's name. Amen. We continue our coming out series, and I wasn't here last week, so let me say happy Pride!
Happy Pride!
I want to thank everybody who made the presence of MCC Tampa possible, those who set up the table, marched in the parade, stood on the sidelines. We just want to thank you in all the ways in which you are MCC Tampa to the world that you touch outside these walls. You know, there's a lot of stuff we leave in the closet when we come out. I don't care if you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, questioning, or straight alliance. We got stuff in our closets. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. What do we do with that stuff? Every once in a while, we clean it out, we have a garage sale, or we give it to somebody else who can make use of it, or we put it in the trash can. But the only time we really clear our closet is when we're moving to a new closet, or house, or apartment, or wherever your dwelling is, right? None of us have an empty closet in our house. Who has an empty closet in your house? None of us have an empty closet in our house. I need to put my hand down. It stores stuff. Our closets store stuff that are not the feature of our home, right? Even stuff we use to feature our home on a seasonal basis gets stored in a closet. So why would that not be true for our internal stuff? Do you have stuff that you keep in the closet when you come to church? Do you have stuff you keep in the closet when you go to the bar? Maybe even church stays in the closet when you go to the bar. Because we still struggle as far as we have come and as great an influence as we have made on the world around who we are as fully divine sexual human beings, we still have who we are sexually in this part of our world and who we are spiritually in this part of our world. And we struggle with that integration as whole people. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We struggle with wholeness. Being whole is risky business. It's really not popular. Think about it. What's popular? Being broken and getting fixed, not being whole. Right? Think about it. What's on the advertisements? How you can feel better. Just do it, right? And do you? In large part, we struggle with the tension of wholeness because it means we have to get risky. It means we have to find something outside of our comfort zone to step into. Here we have this tension held in this scripture. In these two stories, Jesus was on his way from the lake to the land, and there was a crowd waiting for him. And he got there, and one of the synagogue leaders came to him and said, "My daughter is dying. Will you please come and heal her?" So Jesus begins to move through the crowd to Jairus' house. And on the way, a woman who for 12 years had an issue in her life that separated her from community. Because remember back then, blood was matter out of place. Didn't matter where it came from. It was matter out of place. And when it became out of place, you became dirty. Matter out of place, dirty. Get the connection? Well, in antiquity, when you have any matter out of place, you must place yourself outside the community so that those who are clean do not get dirty by your presence. Do not get dirty by touching you. So here we have this woman who's lived outside the community for 12 years. 12 years. Some people I know have lived outside the community for 50 years. Have you ever found yourself living outside the community? On some level, somehow, some way? She finds something inside of her. I like to call it holy boldness. She finds something inside of her and says, "I'm gonna do it. This is my opportunity. I've done it every other way I can think of. I'm gonna get my healing." In Ted Logger's book, Prayers for the Journey, Gorillas of Grace, there's a wonderful prayer in there that I believe was possible, at least reflecting what this woman might have been praying as she got up the holy boldness to step out and take what was hers, her own healing, risking everything for wholeness. She may have prayed something like this: "O holy and haunting presence, whose spirit moves quietly but surely in the sound and fury of the world and of my life, you know me. As rushing waters know the rock and release its beauty to reflect new light, open me to the insight. Insist embraciveness of your grace, for I often trivialize your love. By abandoning the struggles which accompany its joy and rejecting the changes which lead to its fulfillment, release me from the dark fury of assuming I am unloved. Release me from assuming I am unloved when the day calls for sacrifice and the night calls for courage. Release me from the ominous fear of thinking some sin or failure of mine can separate me from you. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place? Where, how many of you were raised with real clarity about what sin is? Mm-hmm. I don't see enough hands. With that deep sense of, if I'm doing something wrong, God's going to get me. I can't tell you how many times I hear from somebody who hasn't been to church in a long time, I know if I walk in there, lightning's going to strike me dead. Well, let me just tell you, we have liability and coverage for all of that. So walk in the door and take a risk. You might be surprised about what you find. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Release me from the dangerous illusions of independence. When the human family summons me to the realities and promise of interdependence among race, sexes, nations, release me from being possessed by riches I do not need and grievances that weary me. When you call me to share my very self with neighbor and to reflect for the world the light of your love within me, release me from me so that I can open myself to all of you. She stepped out into the crowd and she reached her hand out, knowing that this could violate every system in her religious code, and she touched the hem of his garment. Holy boldness in that moment. And what did Jesus do? He turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" I want to tell you something contextually about this text that you may not know. This text, so I digress for a moment, but I think it's important. Have you ever heard of a scripture in the Bible that says homosexuality is a sin?
No.
You ever, anybody here ever heard that? Anybody here ever heard that? Goodness gracious. When we read the Bible as we live, we miss oftentimes what is meant by the person writing the Bible who lives in a very different way than we do. In Africa, where women still go to a tent every month until they're through their monthly menses, this scripture proves that women should be separated from men during that time of the month. And this scripture is read in worship to say, see, when a woman during that time of the month touches a man, they lose their power. Now, we find that odd, weird. Anybody find that normal? Well, if that was your culture and that was your context, wouldn't you read that as saying, see, there's proof? Yes. Because we don't take into consideration when we read the Bible how somebody else might live that's different than the way we live. This woman comes up and touches Jesus, desperate, knowing that the healing lives within his ministry, risking everything she has for wholeness. And his response is, who touched me? And what are the disciples here? Gotta love them. Gotta love them. You know, that critical thinking's popping right out there. The disciples say, what do you mean, who touched you? You're in a crowd. Everybody touched you. Jesus says, no. Who touched me? Who touched me? The woman, knowing what happened in her body, in that moment she was transformed, in that moment she was healed, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the truth. Why is the truth hard for us? I've shared a little bit about my journey at Tampa General, and I believe I began a little bit of this story a few weeks ago. I went to a diversity training, and at the end of that training, I said, hey, I could do one. Not really thinking what that would mean. And they said, okay. And I told them what it was, and they were all excited. And I was going to do a diversity training on taking care of and working with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community until I thought what that meant for me. And then I realized, oh, no. What will my colleagues think if they come to it? What will the nursing staff think if they come to it? What will the doctors think if they come to it? Because I still got all that stuff in my head, right? I forget sometimes holy boldness is my call too. And I stepped out, and the very first thing that I said to them was, I came out in 1982 the first time, and the last time I came out was 5 seconds ago. You never come out once. I don't care what it's about. Coming out and healing who we are in our woundedness is a lifelong experience. Jesus looked at her and said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking to her, the crowd came to him and said, some people came from the house of Jairus. His daughter is dead, they proclaimed. Why bother the teacher anymore? Was the question in response. Jesus looked at them and said, do not be afraid, just believe. He went in and said to them, with all this commotion and wailing, the child is not dead, she's asleep. But they laughed at him. Think about your spiritual journey. How often have somebody laughed at you when you tell them God's grace wraps you. God's love fills you. They don't have to get it for you to live it. They don't have to get it for you to live it.
Amen.
Do you get that? Jesus took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and went in where the child was, and he took them by the hand and said, Talitha kumo, which means, little girl, get up. Get up. Immediately the little girl got up, began to walk around the room. Our miracles may not be as instant as this scripture or even as the movie screen, but miracles are happening in our lives every single day. Every day. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Who here has had a miracle in your life? Just look around. Let me tell you, my friends, it's not because you did anything right or wrong. It's not even understandable. In fact, what Jesus says to this family, to everyone who witnessed this, he gives strict orders. Tell no one. Tell no one. Why? Well, maybe because what we say with our words is not nearly as important as how we live out our healing. Has God met you in places you long for healing? In your heart, in your mind, in the relationships with people that you journey? Is there a place in your life where holy boldness needs to take you by the hand? Surround you, blanket you, fill you, equip you, journey with you. Risking everything. I'm here to tell you, this is not easy work. It's not fun. It's not entertaining. It's hard. Being a disciple of the good news is hard work and a peace that passes all understanding. Talitha Aku, rise up. Rise up and be filled with God's grace, God's healing, God's presence, God's love, God's wholeness for your life, and clean out your closet. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for all of the ways in which you bless and fill our lives. Come and meet us right here, right now, in this place, in our pain, in our joy, in our sorrow, in our fear, in our hopes, in our longings, in what is possible. Come and meet us, God, in those places that are impossible. Come and meet us. Right here. Bless us, O God. Purify our hearts.
Kindle a love that flows.